When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
A lesson I have to constantly relearn is to remain suspicious of artistic edicts or definitive rules of art. And I get why they're attractive. I for one, have often talked about how limitations breed creativity. Putting some parameters around a thing often makes it easier to get started doing a thing. But what I'm specifically talking about is when you say, like, no good art can have this in it. No good movie can have this in it. No good novel can have this in it. An example I think of is once a friend jokingly said to me, I think he was joking, this is a long time ago, this would be like in the early 90s, there's no such thing as a good adventure comic with ninjas in it. Now, I remember the time, it was the early 90s, we had just gone through a whole decade of ninja craziness, Mutant Ninja Turtles, American Ninja movies, all sorts of ninjas as bad guys in a variety of things. So I think that was what was informing the tongue-in-cheek sort of edict that this guy was espousing. But I remember at the time, I was like, really? Is that true? Is there no such... I was a younger person back then. But as a younger person, I liked those kinds of rules because, again, it gave me a sense of boundaries. As long as I don't cross that line, chances are I'm making a good thing, right? When in truth, we know that when we make things, those boundaries are very, very fuzzy. And if we want to make really, really good things, then those boundaries will be, I think, formed through the making of the thing itself. It forms its own boundaries because it's defining its own existence through the act of making the thing, right? Ooh, that sounded like I almost know what I'm talking about. to my ears, that almost sounded profound. I don't know how true that is, but that's my suspicion. Anyway, I've got a story today about how I, in the last 24 hours, relearned to be suspicious of edicts because I had one of my own that I was operating under the assumption of. And it comes out of the fact that, and I said this to a friend recently, that I'm not a big fan of the parts in adventure stories where our hero or protagonist unlocks the problem of the story that this character has to overcome through some random act of dialogue, right? Another character says something like for instance, let me see if I can come up with an example. I'm sitting in a parking lot across from a pharmacy, so this is where the ideas are coming from. He's got some kind of crazy medicine, can't be ingested. He's got to give it to a lot of people. And someone says something to the effect of, like, say it, don't spray it, right? And they're like, spray it, that's it! And then they have to spray the medicine on people, something like that, right? That's a terrible example, but you get the idea. Another character says something unrelated to the central problem that needs to be solved. That single word gets latched upon by the protagonist and they figure out how to solve the problem. And it happens a lot. I see it happening a lot. And I think in my less optimistic moments, my more cynical moments, I go, well, it happens a lot. Therefore, it's hackneyed. It's trite. Seen it a million times. Just because you've seen it a million times doesn't mean it can't be done well. But anyway, so I found myself like reacting to it like with a not a revulsion, but I steered clear of it. And I was drafting some stories where, like, that opportunity presented itself to be like, oh, these two characters would be talking about this. And then, anyway, hero would figure out what needs to happen. Because also, and part of my rationale was, like, life doesn't work that way. I've never had the experience where someone said a random line of conversation to me that, like, unlocked a thing someplace else. If it has happened, it didn't stick in my memory. I have no memory of that ever happening to myself. So therefore it doesn't ring as true. It feels kind of false. Yes, I know we're talking about fiction, but you know, you want the fiction to feel plausible and feel true, right? So anyway, this is all to explain why I had such a skittishness about that tool in storytelling. Is it a trope? Anyway, so where does it, how did I relearn this lesson about, to be suspicious of even that? Getting too comfortable in my assumptions about what makes good storytelling, bad storytelling. The other day I was having a conversation online with some people about one of the outros that I tag on these Thunder Punch Daily episodes, which is one of my favorite ones, and I'll probably tag it on the end of this one, where Man-at-Arms talks about, sometimes when, sometimes when people aren't playing by the rules or the job seems too big, it's easy to become discouraged, but that's when you have to really stick with it and keep trying. By the way, side note, when he lowers his voice just a little bit there, he's like, that's when you really have to stick with it and keep trying. Oh my gosh, how that works on me. Like, I do the whole gambare, kind of like hold my fist together and squeeze my elbows in, like, yeah, I will try harder, Man-at-Arms. Somebody was remarking on, like, how that line is just such a great reminder. And yeah, it's a great reminder for me. That's why I use it all the time. And so fast forward about 7 hours, I'm sketching some ideas because it's almost December. It's time for me to do the Boulder and Fleet desktop image that I release on my Patreon and also turn into a postcard that I send to all my Patreon supporters, patreon.com/jersey, by the way. And I was like, what do I do this year? Well, I don't know. I don't have any ideas. I haven't had time to think about this. It was one of those things where it's like, I just finished a full work day. I've got an hour left of the day before I go to bed. Let's sketch out some ideas. And so I started sketching. And then I remembered that conversation that I had earlier that day about how, you know, when things, the job seems too big, you got to really stick with it and keep trying. And I start sketching Boulder and Fleet trudging through the snow. And I'm like, oh, they're trudging through, and it's a blizzard. It's a blizzard. That's right. Because this has been a wild, wild year. 2017 has been an intense year for a lot of us, if not all of us, in one way or another, right? And while I always have wanted to focus on moments of friendship between some of the characters in the various stories I've written in that world for my desktop image, I thought, well, this, friendship is also like struggling together too, isn't it? You know, friendship is like is reminding each other that we need each other to keep on trying. Now, this was not a moment where a person said a line of dialogue. I mean, well, it was a moment where a person said a line of dialogue unrelated to the desktop image that I was working on. But, and it certainly was not an immediate realization. It wasn't like I'm talking to this person on Twitter and all of a sudden I'm like, trying, that's it! But, so there was like a gestation period, right? There was like several hours where in between those two moments until the realization happened. But it was a moment where in my real life, an unrelated conversation unlocked, let's face it, a very, very tiny problem. This was the immediacy of the problem was like, what am I going to draw, you know, for a thing? I could have done 100 things, right? I could have drawn Boulder and Fleet like at a dinner table. I could have drawn Boulder and Fleet pulling a sled. I could have drawn them having a snowball fight again. There's 100 things you could do with like a winter theme, but that them trudging through the blizzard, I felt like was, it felt really appropriate. And it came from just somebody making an observation based on a completely different thing. So, there I was, having experienced disprove these assumptions that I make about the world. And once again, I relearned not to rely on those assumptions too much. And celebrate when the assumptions are proven false, because that means that the stuff I do just got like a little bit bigger. Not the work itself, but let me put it this way. The work that I engage with just got a little bit bigger, because it's not hemmed in by my arbitrary boundaries that I put around it. So who am I? Jersey Drost, cartoonist and teaching artist, boulderandfleet.com. Once again, patreon.com/jersey. This Thunder Punch Daily is going to drop on Sunday. That's today. Sunday what? What are we looking at for the date? I got my watch on. The 26th. I believe the desktop will go live on the Patreon on Monday the 27th. So you can look for it there once you listen to this one. This is part of the Art Sound Off Challenge, artsoundoff.com, where for the month of November, me and my buddy Rob Stenzinger and a bunch of other people have been checking in with an audio accompaniment to the work that we're doing. And if you enjoyed mine, I'm sure you would enjoy Rob's Polytechnicast and the thoughts of all the other cartoonists. You can find them all by looking for the Art Sound Off hashtag on Twitter. You don't even have to log in. Just go to twitter.com and then in the search bar, type in Art Sound Off, all one word, and you'll find all the entries. So I'll be back tomorrow with another Thunder Punch Daily. And until then, remember, everybody.
Today we learned about the value of trying, even when the odds are against you. Sometimes when people around us aren't playing by the rules or the job seems too big, it's easy to become discouraged. But that's when you really have to stick with it and keep trying, because that's how winners are born. So whether you're playing a game or doing your schoolwork, no matter how far behind you think you are, don't give up. Remember, you can't win if you don't try. See you next time.